Good morning and welcome to the John Markham Leadership Podcast. This is Pastor John Markham of Life City Church out in Santa Clara, California. And today is February 24th, and I've got some stuff I want to share today with you if you are a Bible college student, whether you're in seminary or undergrad school. I have a handful of things that I would love to share with you that I think is important to your development, both spiritually and career-wise as a vocational minister one day, that I think will set you up for success. Everybody in Bible college longs for the day, dreams of the day that they're going to be in full-time ministry. And I can't wait to get out of Bible college. I can't wait to be in full-time ministry, etc., etc., etc. And I understand that because I remember what that was like when I was there. I remember being in that position and being so eager to be in quote-unquote real ministry. And I was lucky enough to get some things right, more by chance, and I'd like to think good work ethic. There are a lot of things that I would have focused on differently if I saw them then the way that I see them now. So with that in mind, I want to share just a handful of things that I would give as advice or feedback to the young man or the young lady who is in Bible college or in seminary, preparing, hoping, dreaming, planning, believing they're called to full-time ministry, whether that's as a pastor or a missionary or a church planter or a staff member of some kind for a church. I want to give you a handful of things that I think are critical to your future success. A little bit of context, I graduated from Baptist Bible College in Springfield, Missouri. I was a part of the class of 2004, loved my college, loved my experience. There were a lot of things that I grew through that I am indebted to be honest, that I am extremely grateful for that experience and what it taught me. And there's things that I wouldn't have gotten any other way except through that Bible college experience. And yet, there are things that no Bible college can adequately prepare you for. One of my good friends, in fact, he's now the chairman of what equates to our elder board at Life City, and he also graduated from the same Bible college, and he and I have been friends for a long time. Derek. And Derek Glenn, he and I had an experience just this past week that I'm not going to get into for sake of weirding everybody out. But we had to deal with something together, and we both looked at each other and were like, there's no mention of this anywhere in Bible college. And that's been like the ongoing joke with us anytime we have one of these kind of experiences, that there's just no way to prepare you for some of the realities that you're going to deal with in the real world of real ministry. And so with that said, I want to give you a handful of things that can at least, and I can't even begin to list those kinds of things. I can give you some of my experiences, but like I said, some of them would absolutely weird you out. And two, those might not be your experiences. Your experiences might be way more weird, or maybe way less weird, just different. And so I want to give you a handful of things, six or seven things here, that I think will fill you up and point you in the right direction for your future ministry, if you sincerely feel called to full-time vocational ministry one day. And so here are what those things look like. First of all, number one, while in Bible college or seminary, whatever, number one, serve your guts out now. Serve your guts out now. If you're in Bible college, if you're in seminary, if you're in some kind of a school preparing to go into vocational ministry, ministry doesn't happen after you get out of Bible college. It happens right now. Get into a local church, get connected, get committed, and serve your guts out. I don't give opportunities to people who aren't willing to serve. One of the values we have in our leadership culture here at Life City is we say this all the time. We say, if you're not willing to serve, then you're not ready to lead. If you're not willing to serve, then you're not ready to lead. I think there's a lot of temptation, I think, for a lot of Bible college students, and especially for seminary students, to think, I've earned this. I've paid my dues because I have this degree. I spent this long in school. I paid this much money. I got these grades. And so now I'm ready to lead. And nothing can be farther from the truth. Nobody cares about your diploma as much as they care about your heart. And you demonstrate your heart by serving your guts out. And if you're not willing to do that now, you won't be ready to lead later. If you're not willing to serve, then you're not ready to lead. I don't care what it is. I don't care if they give you the job of cleaning the bathrooms in the church on Saturday so it's clean on Sunday, teaching children's ministry, nursery, whatever. Get involved. Serve your guts out. My first job in ministry after Bible college was as a children's pastor, and I sought that kind of a job. I wanted to work in that kind of environment first, and I'm glad that I did. It was a great experience. I've taught Sunday schools, I've cleaned, I've done all the things that I'm describing, and wish that I had done it even more. So serve your guts out now. A part of your education isn't what happens in the classroom, but what happens in the church and on the streets and in your neighborhood. So get out of your bubble of a Bible college campus and go serve your guts out with your local church somewhere. Don't just go serve out in general either. Serve in your church. Serve through the ministry of your church. That's where you're saying you want to lead anyway, at least for many of you. So go do it. Go serve now. Go do what one day you're expecting people to do for you. You can't lead people somewhere that you're not going. So get out there and serve your guts out now while you're in Bible college. Number two, get a mentor. Get a mentor or coach or whatever you want to call that person that has the capacity to know you personally and speak into your life and call you into your potential and call you out on your bullcrap. Yeah, it's my podcast. I can say bullcrap. Get a mentor. Get somebody who is older than you, wiser than you, more experienced at life and in what you want to do, and give them permission to speak into your life. Whether that's a professor or a pastor or another ministry leader, get somebody who has the ability and ask them to enter into this kind of a relationship with you. Ask for a level of meetings, to frequently get together, whether that's once a month or at least once a quarter, I would say at a minimum. Have them, give them the capacity, give them the permission and the authority to speak into your life, to call out what they see is there, to correct you when you're wrong, and help you get where you believe God is calling you to go. Get a mentor. Number three, and this one I did in Bible college. I'm glad that I did. Beg, bribe, and plead your way into preaching opportunities. Beg, bribe, and plead your way into preaching opportunities. I was very fortunate. Before I ever made it to Bible college, I was blessed to have graduated from a Christian high school, and as a result of that, and because of my sensing the calling towards preaching from an early age, I had people in my life there at the school that I went to high school at, and in my church, who gave me ample opportunity to preach in chapel, in Bible classes, in Sunday schools, even in the actual services as a teenager, like on Sunday night services type of a thing. And so by the time I ever even got to Bible college, I'd already preached dozens of times and had prepared messages and delivered messages either to my youth group or my class or my school or whatever. And so I had plenty of opportunity before I ever came to Bible college. There are a lot of guys that I knew in Bible college that the very first sermon they ever wrote and preached themselves was in a preaching workshop class. And that's fine. Some people didn't have the same experience, the same opportunities that I had, and I get that. That doesn't mean they're less qualified or less called. It just means they didn't have some of the advantages early on that I had. But that doesn't mean you have to stay in that situation. You now have the opportunity to change that, to actually develop that experience. And just because you're called to do something doesn't mean that you're good at it yet. You need experience. You need time doing it. And there's only one way to do it. You have to do it. There's only one way to get good at it. You're not going to... Nobody. I don't care how gifted, how talented, how anointed you are. Nobody is a great preacher the first time they preach. They may have a better first message than other people had a first message, but you have to hone the craft that you're called to. You need to develop the gift that God's given you to preach. I would describe myself entering Bible college as raw goods. My father, who is a very gifted speaker, taught me a lot of what I knew, so that was how I developed my ability to preach as a teenager. But by the time I got to Bible college, I was still a lot of raw goods. Even though I preached dozens of times, I probably put maybe a grand total of 50 to 100 hours tops into preparing and delivering Bible content, messages, lessons, devotions. They say on average it takes about 10,000 hours of doing something before you are considered to be able to have a mastery of that particular craft or ability. 10,000 hours of preparing, writing, researching, delivering messages before you're considered a master of this craft? Well, you better get as much time logged as you can right now. In the place where I was in Bible college, there were churches everywhere, and I made myself business cards, and I handed them out, and I said, hey, if you ever need somebody to fill pulpit, or to teach a Sunday school class, or whatever, I can fill in. And I got permission from, you know, the people in, you know, that I was responsible to be able to do that on occasion, and I did. I preached at several churches all over that area, you know, whenever I had the opportunity. I got to preach in places well away from my college town. Because of that, because of relationships that I built. So beg, bribe, and plead your way into preaching, teaching, giving devotions, opportunities. I became a resident assistant at my college, which means that I got to give a devotion every Monday night to my entire floor of guys, or have one of them give a devotion, and I took advantage of that. Next one that I would encourage you to do if you're in Bible college or seminary right now, remember the names of other pastors. Remember the names of other pastors, and kind of connected with that, make them remember you, hopefully in a good way. I mean, don't like spill coffee on them and now they never want to talk to you again, but remember their names and make it a point to help them remember your name, because these are people that are going to be future mentors or maybe even future employers, or depending on what you're trying to do, a church planter or a missionary one day, future fundraisers for you. And I'm just being pragmatic here. It takes money to do ministry. And so help these people remember you in a good way and make it an effort to remember them so that you can call them up one day and say, hey, you remember me? We met at such and such a thing. You came on campus for alumni days or whatever. I just want to know if it'd be okay if I came and preached to your church and shared our ministry with them about what we're calling to do. Or you know, I understand that you're looking for a youth pastor or a music guy or whatever. I happen to be very good at that. And I'm looking for a first position in ministry where I can grow, or I can use the talents that I know God's given me. I was wondering if maybe we could talk about that. So remember the names of other pastors and make an effort to have them remember you. If your denomination or group has local meetings of pastors that will allow you to join them, see if you can join them. Yeah, even now as a Bible college student. And here's a good piece of advice. Keep your mouth shut at those meetings unless they ask you to say something or share something. You're not coming there to pour out your depth of wisdom at 20 years of age. You're coming there to listen and learn and see what's actually happening behind the curtain of real ministry in the lives of people who are actually doing what you say you want to do one day. So learn from these people. And yeah, if they ask you to share something, then yeah, share something. I'm not saying, you know, don't talk. I'm saying don't go there to talk. Go there to listen, to learn, to watch, to observe, to grow. I've already kind of touched on this, but the next one, start low and work high. If you feel like God's called you to plant a church or to be a missionary or to be the pastor, the lead pastor of a church one day, you're probably not going to do that right out of seminary. I'll go a step farther. You probably shouldn't do that right out of seminary, especially if you graduated high school, went to Bible college, went to seminary, or went to some other college and then went to seminary. You probably shouldn't be a lead pastor at 25. I'm not saying you can't. I'm saying you probably shouldn't. For one, if you're going to take over an existing church, you're the age of the average person's grandchild in a lot of those churches. Two, and the age thing, the age gap is one thing, but more to the point, two, is the gap in life experience is so substantial that at best they'll look at you as a chaplain, not as their pastor, not as their man of God. And two, to a large degree, they're right. You don't have the experience yet. So I would strongly encourage you to get into an internship, to get into, if your first job out of Bible college is a junior high pastor, whatever, just get in somewhere at a church that has a good vision, that lines up with your theology, with your doctrinal convictions, and serve your guts out and be willing to work your way up, whether that's in that church, or be honest, you know, if you don't see yourself at this church long term, you know, say, I'm committed to be here for 3 years, for 5 years. I committed to be a part of our sending church for 5 years before we left to start LifeSea Church. I fulfilled those 5 years and was blessed by my congregation, by our staff, by our leadership at that sending church as we left to go start LifeSea Church. So don't be afraid to start low and work high. I was the young adults pastor there, and that was an honor to get to serve in that capacity. I don't know what number I'm on, but the next thing I want to mention to Bible college students, to seminary students, do not undervalue your personal purity and integrity. Do not undervalue your personal purity and integrity. If you're not spending time in the Word and in prayer right now, then nothing's going to change when you graduate. If you're making mistakes with your girlfriend right now, you're one day going to be leading people, and you're not going to be in a place of authority in your own experience to lead your teenagers to do any better. if you're not being honest with your grades and your study habits and saying you read the books that are required of your class or the scriptures for that particular class, then why would anybody trust you to be their pastor? Why would anybody trust you to be responsible for other ministry leaders? Why would anybody trust you to give an accurate answer for the financial well-being of your congregation one day? Do not undervalue purity and integrity on a personal level right here, right now. Even a child is known by his doings, whether they be good and whether they be right. So I'm not saying you're a child, but right now you're in a place where you're making decisions that are shaping who you will be for the rest of your ministry. Do not undervalue personal purity and integrity. Again, I don't know what number I'm on, but next one. Listen to several different preachers. Make it an effort to listen to many different preachers and pastors. You're in a place that's, and I'm showing my age here now, but you're in a place where the world has gotten a lot smaller and a lot more convenient to gather information, to listen. Even now, you're listening to this podcast probably on some mobile device, and just as easily as you can listen to my podcast, you can listen to our preaching on our Life City podcast, our Life City Church Sermons podcast. And we're not the only ones. I mean, good Lord, there's thousands nationwide, worldwide, that are making it easier and easier to watch and listen to their preaching. And you need to listen for a lot of reasons. One, because you're probably going to run out of material at some point. You're going to need to get some ideas from other people. And there's nothing new under the sun. You can learn from other people and get some of their ideas of how they tackle different scriptures. But number two, you need to expand your repertoire of how you preach. I've learned from a lot of different people and their styles of preaching. And relating with people who have my personality, but people who are very, very different from me. People that I've learned from just watching their preaching styles would include Stephen Furtick, Perry Noble, Tim Keller. That's a broad jump, but Tim Keller is a phenomenal speaker and a very different personality than me, but I learned a lot from him. Andy Stanley, Rick Warren, Matt Chandler, just to name a few, John Piper, very, very gifted speakers of the Word of God. And all of those are a broad range of personality types, of teaching styles, of theological slants. Some of those are very reformed, some of those are very charismatic, and most of them are somewhere in between. But my point, I guess, is learn from several different preachers. You don't have to subscribe to everything they believe to learn from them. Good Lord, you probably don't believe everything I believe. You don't think to see things the way I see everything. That's fine. You can still learn from me, and I can still learn from you. So listen to several different types of preachers. And last of all, last thing I want to give you as a Bible college student, and especially as a seminary student. I feel like this is true of people in Bible college and seminary, but especially true of seminary students. Don't be so critical of those who are doing what you're training to do. Don't be so critical of those who are doing what you are training to do. It's been said that the hardest group of people to preach to is a group of seminary students, Bible college students. And the reason is because they're not actually listening to the content of what you're delivering as much as they're breaking it down based off of the education that they've gotten up to that point of what you did right and what you did wrong. And so they're missing the point of the message. And it's hilarious to me that a man can devote his life to preaching, have the same educational credentials as a student, and have 30 years experience doing it in real ministry context. And yet some 25-year-old seminary student will have the guts to say, well, yeah, but, you know, he didn't exegete this according to the Greek, you know, hermeneutic context, or blah, 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 blah. And, you know, you may have a point there. But you also may be missing the forest for the trees. If you haven't led a couple hundred people to faith in Jesus and made a couple thousand disciples in your life up to that point, or preached a couple thousand messages like the person you're criticizing, then you may have a point, but you may be missing the big picture. So take time to slow down on the criticism. Take notes, but take notes of what they're actually saying, not things you think they did wrong. And then afterward, evaluate. Let the message, let the preaching of the word hit you the way that it was supposed to be delivered. And then kind of come back and review and say, okay, yeah, he made a great point here. And I remember thinking this as he was preaching this. Because what you're really doing is you're throwing a wet blanket on the Holy Spirit, who you say you believe is supposedly guiding the person preaching the word of God in the first place. So just slow down your note-taking a little bit to actually take notes of the content and to listen to the message that's being delivered, and then come back and reevaluate what you think they could have done differently or how you think they could have done better. And don't be so quick to judge someone who's got thousands of hours more experience at something than you do. They may know something you don't know. They may understand something you don't understand. And if they aren't so good at preaching, in your opinion, it might be because they've gotten so much better at doing it in front of real people in real life that they haven't wasted as much time teaching it to people who aren't listening in the first place. So don't be that person. Listen. Take good notes. Be slower to criticize and swifter to listen and to learn from the people who are actively doing what you think you are called to do. You might learn something, and I think it'd be beneficial to you. So those are a few things from me that I think that every Bible college student, every seminary student would do good to think about and to learn and to practice. Serve your guts out. Get a mentor. Find every preaching opportunity you can get. Learn the names of other pastors and help them remember you. Don't be afraid to start low and work your way up. Don't undervalue your personal purity and integrity. Listen to several different types of preachers and be slower to criticize those who are actually doing what you think that God has called you to do. If you do all that, then I think that you'll grow as a leader and you'll set yourself up in a good position to one day get a job from one of these people and learn even more on the job than you did in the classroom. That's where ministry happens. It doesn't happen in a Bible college classroom. It happens out on the streets. It happens in people's homes. It happens in restaurants. It happens in real lives. So I hope that you're listening, and I hope that you're growing from this. And I hope that as you step out into what God's called you to do, that He would make you fruitful and multiply your ministry, and that many, many, many people would come to faith in Jesus and grow in His grace as you apply some of the things that maybe you learned today. I'm John Markham. I encourage you to check out my blog, johnmarkham.org. On that blog, you'll find a tab called Feedback. If you click there, you can give me a little shout out and let me know that you were listening. But there you can also give me feedback on what you thought of the podcast, or maybe some ideas, some topics, some content that you'd like to hear me address. I would love to tackle something that is particularly interesting to you. So give me a shout out. Let me know what's going on in your life and how I can better help you in what God's called you to do. You can also follow me on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at John Markham, JohnMarkum, no spaces or punctuation. And there, I'd love to connect with you more. And you can find out more about what God's doing in my life and in the life of Life City Church as we lead the people out here in Silicon Valley to fully experience life in Christ. Right now, we are making some big moves as we get closer to Easter. Looking forward to sharing more about that. And we'll talk about planning big days in a future podcast. Thank you. Thank you for tuning in, and this has been the John Markham Leadership Podcast. God bless.